And if we were going to step back, just think with me for a minute on the applications of limits and losses to leading a church family. Everything from when there's people leaving the church, when a church moves, your mission and location is a limit, your staff and gift mix is a limit, your people's time, energy, and money is a limit. But there's grief that we go through in churches when people die, when there's growth, when styles happen, and we've got to help people learn to grieve well biblically now as part of our training and development. All right. And obviously it leads to making incarnation your model for loving well, which is kind of the climax of the book in Principle 6. But I want to close just a comment or two about a Principle 7 and leave this with you as we go. And we call it drinking from the contemplative tradition of solitude, silence, and Sabbath. Jerry and I have been on this journey now for almost 10 years. And our commitment is to love God and love other people well. We are about Jesus. Emotionally healthy spirituality. Where this led us to over time was into looking at the whole way we do discipleship also in our evangelical tradition. And we ended up spending a great deal of time looking at monasticism and the contemplative tradition and concluded that we've got to make some changes in the way we function as evangelicals who are very active. Our tradition is rich but incredibly active. We are very busy people and we get the job done. But we don't have a lot of time for rest and reflection. And as we looked about emotional health, we realized we had to eventually include this because people reflect us. They're overloaded, they're living life on the run, they're pressured, our people feel scattered. We feel scattered, cluttered, pulled apart, distracted. It's a jungle out there, we're entangled. We've been speaking all around the country. What's amazing to us, rural areas as well as urban areas, people are overwhelmed. And the result is, we end up living off other people's spirituality because we don't have time to cultivate our own. And our people don't have time to cultivate their spirituality, and so they end up living off radio and other people's walk with God. The average pastor, they say, prays seven minutes a day. I believe our people pray much less. I don't care if it's a Pentecostal church or not. And so I throw this out to you as you think about Mary and Martha, because people have been writing about Mary and Martha for 2,000 years. There's a Mary in all of us and a Martha, right? We're active, working for Jesus. But as you know, it's very easy to miss Jesus. There's a Mary piece of all of us sitting at the Lord's feet in contemplation, knowing Him, being with Jesus. Here's how most of us live our lives. We have so much activity going on, we got a big circle there. Now, contemplation is being with God that's not about intercession for what's got to get done. I'm talking about being with Jesus to enjoy Him. Remember that's why you became a Christian in the first place? Loving Him and being loved by Him, just being with Him, sitting at His feet, not to get a sermon topic, not to get fresh ideas and revelation about direction, just to be with Jesus. That's Mary. And we have to have a level of contemplation if we're going to have emotionally healthy spiritual lives that corresponds with the level of activity. No one can tell you what those two circles look like, but for you, what's that balance? But you've got to figure that out. And I recognize that my life and our lives were off balance. And we had to get them in sync. We had to slow down. Do less to be with Jesus so that our activity flowed out of our walk with God. Bernard of Clairvaux, who wrote in the 12th century quite a bit about the active and the contemplative life, he said the reason we don't spend time with God in contemplation, he's talking to leaders, is because of the sin of sloth and laziness. It's easier to be busy than it is to be quiet with God. And he would deny anybody to be in the apostolic active ministry of priests at that time, except they had a life rooted deeply in contemplation. And I believe, and we believe, part of emotional healthy spirituality is we as leadership have got to get our lives balanced in a way that's appropriate for your temperament, your situation, and how God made you to be. That's part of emotionally healthy life. And so It's a long story. It's led us, as you'll see in your outline there, to something called a daily office, the rhythm of a daily office. We used to have one quiet time a day, and God's led us to discover that rich history of the daily office. There's some tapes in there, you might want to pick it up. It's a whole long story, but it's changed our lives, of meeting with God 3 to 4 times a day, pausing, because we realize the first work that God has called us to is to be with Him. And the second work is everything else. And my work in life is first to seek God. That is what we do. We seek the living God. As you know, that is so easy to get lost in what we do. It's incredibly difficult. But that's why this has become now a principle for us of emotionally healthy churches. We keep pulling back and saying, the first thing we do is seek God. And I've got to restructure my life for that. And then I develop a plan of life to do that. And you have some tapes to pick that up. So here's our principles of emotionally healthy churches. We've touched on principle 4 and 5, and you can find out about the rest later. And we've touched on 7. And again, what we've tried to do this morning is just touch on this emotional component of discipleship. There's a lot more to discipleship, but we're just pulling out the one and saying, there's a lot to this one that we haven't thought about very much. And I hope you've left with a clear sense of that emotional health and spiritual maturity can't be separated. They have to go together. You can't be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. So where do we go from here?
Here are some suggestions. One, that you need to do your own work. That is to take responsibility for your life. Nobody else is responsible for your life but you. And I realize when I start getting cranky and I want to blame Pete for my unhappiness, I want to blame our church for my unhappiness, I have to stop and say, Jerry, you are responsible for your life, nobody else. So you begin with yourself. And then number two, work these principles out in your marriage. That's the first place to be working out authenticity. Okay?
And thirdly, some of you have read the book, and you can read the book in 1 or 2 days, very quickly. But we want to encourage you, invite you to read the book reflectively, prayerfully before God. I just touched on a couple of deep issues here. And to do your own work theologically and personally. Again, this to us is ultimately a biblical issue. Because we believe what we're saying here is biblical. This is not about something new and fresh to grow your church. This is about embracing the fullness of Scripture to grow whole, healthy discipleships and healthy communities. And I see many of you, like myself, have some gray hairs, so you know exactly what I'm talking about, of the craziness that goes on in our churches and communities by ignoring all this. And there's some tapes you'll want to pick up. There's only a few copies of some of these tapes, and some of them build on the theology even beyond the book, because I believe ultimately, for those of you who are teaching, pastoring, you've got to wrestle with Scripture on these issues. And there's some stuff on the contemplative you want to look at. And then number 4, to work this out in a small group. There is some small group material being developed. People do this in small groups all over the country. You've got to work this through and do it with your people. We basically took people on a journey with us in small groups. You can't just preach it. You've got to help people build a genogram and look at their family of origin. You've got to have that process group you're going to have in about 5 or 10 minutes. Then think through cultivating your life, and then finally, sign up for the mailing list. There is a movement. I think this book just hit a wave, actually. We wrote it as pastors, not as therapists. We came with the approach of discipleship, and so it took off all over the country. And there's a huge movement of people and leaders across the country hungry to integrate emotional health and spiritual maturity. You're not the only ones, nor am I. I think we articulated it in a way that was unique, because I'm a local church pastor, like most of you in this room. And so I encourage you to get on that mailing list so that as materials and conferences and we network around the country, you'll find out about them and can follow up on it. All right? Thank you very much.